Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin, and our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
When you preach, you're trying to make sure you can hear you, so you can hear what I'm saying. So today I can take an easy, amen, hallelujah. Let's go ahead and pray and get going in the word that God has for us today. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Jesus, for who you are and what you have done in our lives, oh God. I pray to God that you would just, number one, allow your word to touch us in a mighty way today, oh God. Allow us to hear your word and adhere to your word, which means to walk and follow what your word says, dear God. So we pray today, dear God, that you be glorified in us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Well, I've been preaching on back to the basics. Somebody say back to the basics. And we've covered prayer. We've covered, what was the last thing we've covered? We covered reading and applying the word. Different parts of prayer was intercessory prayer, presenting your request to God, and just also spending time with God. And when I'm talking like this, I feel like one of them Kojic pastors, because they always come up quiet when they first start and then they get going. I don't know what's going to happen, but just be ready. Amen. And today we're going to talk about, I told you guys a little bit what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about sharing the gospel. The gospel is, first of all, it's the most important thing, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me correct myself. It's the most important thing about Christianity. Amen. I believe Paul said it. He said, if Jesus did not die and raise from the dead, we are the most foolish of the foolish. It means we are wasting our time if he did not die and raise himself from the dead. And I don't know about you, but I don't like wasting time. Amen. We only got 24 hours in a day. And I already feel like that ain't enough time. Right? Obed knows about it. He got to get his work done. He got to take care of his family. 24 hours to get certain stuff done, Tamron, is not always enough. Right? You feel like you didn't get things completed, and I don't like having that feeling. So more importantly, in my spiritual life, I don't want to waste time. That's why it's important to know that you know that God, Jesus, is the Son of God, and he rose, died and rose from the dead to save us from our sins. Amen. So we're going to talk about sharing the gospel. And not only about sharing the gospel, but we also have to know the gospel, right? Now, the word gospel means simply good news. Gospel is good news. All right. So, you know, me and my peers, we say these things sometimes. We say, what's good? Yeah. Like, how you doing? What's good? And when we say what's good, we want to hear some good news. Yeah. Okay. And usually people really want to hear good news, but we're so accustomed to bad news, right? We're so accustomed to gloom and doom. That's why, hey, how you doing today? We were hoping for you that you were going to say something good, but if you'd be like, oh, I had a tough day, I couldn't make it. And guess what begins to happen? Negativity begins to set in. And not only do they look at you, sometimes people begin to look at themselves and be like, maybe my day wasn't that good as well, right? Maybe my day wasn't as good because I heard that your day wasn't good. But see, we don't rest in their news. We rest in the good news of Jesus Christ. That's why when everybody sees me, I don't care how my day is going. They ask me how my day is. It's great. Excellent. Awesome. Fantastic. I'm trying to come up with new words so I can explain how my day is, despite what it looks like, because I woke up this morning in my right mind, right? And as the old church folks say, I kept my mind stayed on Jesus, right? Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I grew up in the church a little bit, so I know a little bit of those songs. But we have to really get grasped, as I just said in that song, keeping our mind stayed on Jesus. Despite what you go through, I just wrote it in a song this week. I grow through what I go through. You know, if you don't grow, you'll stay there. And I remember a good friend of mine, Philip Sharp Skills, he said, when you stop growing, you start dying. Okay? So me and Precious, we got this plant we've been trying to plant. We've been watching. I don't know if you guys ever watch regrowing some of the plants that you have. We have like some lettuce, and you could cut the bottom of the lettuce, and you could put it in some water, and it'll start growing. But after a while, one of them just started molding, and it's just starting to look bad. It was like, it's not growing anymore. It's dying, okay? So there is importance in growing and importance in understanding what the gospel is. And I'm going to say this before. This is very interesting to me. Did you know that the disciples shared the gospel before Jesus even died? You guys know that? It says that he sent them out two by two, and they went and spread the gospel and healed people. And what was that gospel? Because remember, Jesus had not died yet. But see, the good news was that Jesus had come. Right? Jesus was there, and they said the huge part of the gospel is always repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So when we get to knowing what the gospel is, first of all, the gospel is going to cause us to have a repentive heart. What does repent mean? Somebody help us, just in case somebody doesn't know what that word means, because that is a church word. What does repent mean?
Say you're sorry for something.
To be sorry for something. Okay, what else? Okay, so this is what the Bible says. It says earthly sorrow. What does it mean? Godly sorrow will bring forth repentance. When you're earthly sorrow, you'll just be sorry for something. So this is the thing. If you are sorry for something, I can say I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. But if I don't turn from it, I'm going to keep on walking in that same thing. Okay, so that's why if I make a mistake, I go to God. God, I'm sorry. Help me. This is part of my prayer. I'm sorry, God. Help me not to do that again. Let your spirit lead me so I do not walk in that path again, okay? It's important because many people miss that part of the gospel. See, the gospel is not just Jesus died for your sins and if you just believe in him, you're good. No, you must repent, okay? This is the gospel they preach. Even guess who else preached that? John the Baptist was preaching the gospel. Okay, this is even before Jesus died. So I was thinking about that as I was preparing for today's sermon. I was like, wow, the gospel was spread even before Jesus died. And even when he died, I don't know if you guys have ever saw this part in the Bible. Sometimes we got to dig deep into it. When Jesus died and the curtain was split, do you know that there was old saints that came back to life and shared the gospel? You guys ever seen that in the Bible? It happens. So they were sharing the gospel even before he rose. So the gospel is that Jesus came to be the sacrificial lamb for us. I think we've been talking about it here, or I've been listening to some other stuff about sacrificing. And just imagine, I was talking with somebody about it. They had to slay an ox, and oxes are pretty big animals. I was talking to Pastor Whitley actually about this. I picked him up from the airport and somehow we talked about slaying animals, right? And actually we were talking because it was Resurrection Sunday was coming up. So he was like, man, just imagine you had to kill an ox and get it on an 8-foot table. An ox, right? And I was like, well, if you were smart, you would let the ox kind of step up first. Because the 8 feet with an ox is no joke. Okay, just think of a cow, but bigger, okay? But they had to do that annually, daily, yearly, monthly. They had so many sacrifices just so that they could say, I'm sorry. God, forgive me. But Jesus was sent as the perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice that does not have to be repeated. Okay? We do not have to go crucify Jesus again. Matter of fact, the Bible says, do not crucify Jesus again, even in your own heart. Accept what he has done and walk in his liberty. And what is his liberty? That is being free from the bondage of sin and death. Because I've accepted that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I believe in my heart and I speak with my mouth that he is. And when you say believe in your heart, it's just not believing. Because I was talking to somebody this week. Do you guys know that the Bible says that even the demons believe? Right? Even the demons believe that God is God. They know who Jesus is. But the difference is a life surrendered. A life that says, okay, I'm going to make you my Lord. So I'm going to go through you for all the things that I do. I need a checklist. God, is this okay with you? Right? That's the gospel. All right, so let's go share. The first thing is we must share the gospel. One thing we got to understand is the gospel is a command. Sharing the gospel. Matthew 28:19 says for. Go ahead and pull that up for me. I just went blank. Therefore, go throughout all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Basically, you're going to go share the gospel throughout all the land. Go ahead and pull that up when you get it. Matthew 28:19. And when you get there, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. What are you discipling them? What does disciple means to bring discipline to so they understand what the gospel is. Okay. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So this was a command Jesus was giving to his disciples when he was leaving and going to heaven. Okay, so he commands us to share the gospel. Now, let's be real. Sharing the gospel is not always the most popular thing. Right? Have you ever shared the gospel when people rejected you? Even friends, you thought, oh, man, we cool. Oh, man, I got to share it with them. And they're like, hey, I ain't with that. I'm not with that, bro. It might be good for you. That's what today is. It's for you, okay? But I got my own stuff to deal with. You know, it might be something that you're cool with, but for me, I'm not really on that, man. So if it works for you, cool. You know, we're in a day and age where everything is subject to them other people. Everything is subject to how you feel. The gospel goes beyond how you feel. So when we share the gospel, we have to remember that it is a command. Amen. My next scripture is Romans 1, chapter 1, verses 16. And we hear this, especially the younger group. This is the scripture that talks about being unashamed. Okay. Now, this does not just mean unashamed about anything, but we cannot be ashamed of the gospel. Because it says, for I, somebody say I. You got to say it like you mean it. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. All right. This is why. Because for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. And why does it say Jew and Greek? What did that mean? At that moment, this is Paul writing this. At that moment, the gospel was really considered for the Jews only. You guys don't realize that Paul is the one that took it outside of just the Jewish people. So what they said was Greek was pretty much they were running the world. So it was like Greeks. Okay. But what we catch here is the definition of in here. We see the definition of the gospel. Of Jesus Christ. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And then it explains what it is. So if you are trying to understand what the gospel is, because I was reading through some things and I was like, God, I really want to make sure I can make sure I got this right. What is the gospel in a nutshell? Then I saw this and it says, for it is the power, okay, of God to salvation. So the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. All right. Everybody that believes And sometimes we have these people that raise up and say, I don't know if you guys have heard these things, and I don't want to get real theological, but there are some things that say that God's atonement is limited, which means he can't save everybody. But I read the scripture right here, and it says for everyone who believes. Now, the limit is if you don't believe. It's not on God. Okay? God has no limits. God is all knowing. God is all powerful. God knows what I'm going to say next. He's already seen it. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He doesn't have any limits. But we limit him. We limit him by simply not believing. Faith is believing. Right? But we can't limit him. And then verse 17 says, what does verse 17 say? For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Okay, so check it out. It tells us what it is. Salvation unto God, the power of God unto salvation. And then it says, not only will it give you power, but it will reveal to you what the righteousness of God is. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Okay, so now I have accepted Jesus in my life. He has given me power. He has saved me, but he has also enabled me. See, this is the key. See, many times we want to get saved and then think we just have to do the right things. Right? But he gives you his Holy Spirit to enable you to do the right thing. Right? That's why sometimes you might be doing something and you're wrestling. And you're like, oh man, I don't know if I can. Or the Holy Spirit just saying, hey, you shouldn't have did that. You should, hey, you might want to say you're sorry. That's not just your conscience. Because your conscience will be like, man, I ain't going to say I'm sorry. For what? I'm going to make me look like I'm soft or something. Right? That's not my thing. But the Spirit will begin to speak to you and reveal to you. And what happens is the more you're in the Word of God, he'll reveal that to you with the Scripture. So it's not just, oh man, you got to get that right. It'll be like, because the Word of God says this. And you'll hear that in your spirit. And what begins to happen is now, because it is revealed to me what he is doing, I'm going to walk in that, and I can walk in it and trust that God is going to allow me to walk in the right steps. That's what faith is. And that's what faith in the gospel is. Amen. So we have to share the gospel, but we cannot be ashamed of what the gospel is. Amen. Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Somebody say the power of God unto salvation. You say it like you mean it. Come on, say it again. So when somebody asks you what's going on, what is the gospel? It's the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Do you believe?
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
Do you believe? I watched a Christian movie called Do You Believe? And they go through a whole bunch of scenarios, whole bunch of different things about, you know, just life. Some people got a whole bunch of hangups, got stuff that was brought up from their past. Oh, I don't believe. I'm an atheist because of da, 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 da. I'm not going to believe because of my grandma died when I prayed. And guess what? Those are things that the enemy really uses to keep people down. Right? But God is still God despite what happens in your situation. God is still worthy. It says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Okay? So even Job said this, even though he slay me, I will still praise him. Even though God slays me, I will still praise him. And that only could come from revelation. Amen. That can only come from revelation. Even in the midst of my problems, even in the midst of the things that I go through, what I'm basically saying is that God is still good news to me. Okay? His salvation is still good news to me, because even if I'm here right now, I know that it's going to get better. I don't know if somebody hear me today. Even if I'm here and it's not looking good, this is not just a motivational speech. If I'm right here and I'm still going through it, or I'm in my pain, or I'm in infirmity, or whatever it is, guess what? Because God's promise of the salvation of God, I can have my head up. That's why some people that get sick, they don't be having their head down. They just be like, God is good. I'm going to see him. I know that I'm getting ready. He's preparing me. Yeah. That only comes when you understand what the gospel is. That's the good news. Yeah. Somebody say, what's good?
What's good?
What's good? Let's go to 2 Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 8 through 12. And this again says, do not be ashamed. This whole passage is about not being ashamed. It says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Okay, so let me stop right there. Paul is writing this letter to Timothy. Timothy is a younger believer. Paul is saying this: don't be ashamed of the testimony of our God, and don't even be ashamed of me because I'm in prison for what I believe. So how does Paul write this good news? Guess this. And he's in what? Prison. Okay. Now, today, some prisons are a lot nicer than they are there. Right. Prisons back in the day, there was just darkness. I don't know if you ever watched any old movies, but if you watch some old movies, the prisons didn't look like some prisons they are in. I've been in a prison. I've never been to prison, but I've been inside of a prison ministering, actually to several prisons. And now they have computers. Now they have different things for you to get. What do they call those things? When you don't go to college, but you go to. No, not GED. Skills courses or whatever. What do they call those things? Apprenticeships, right? They have these things to set you up. They have a whole bunch of things to kind of make it a little bit easier. But guess what? Paul was not in that kind of a prison. But the good news was still with him, right? Joseph was not in that kind of a prison. That's why he wanted to get out, right? But the good news was still with them, because they have hope in the power of God. Amen. It says, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Even when somebody is in chains, if they understand that God is powerful, it will make them understand that I'm not really in bondage like you think. Because you can bondage the body, but you can't bondage the spirit if I'm connected to God. It says, for the gospel, according to the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling. So now, not only will the gospel save you, it will give you a call. That doesn't mean with your phone, right? It will give you a purpose. See, the gospel did not save you for you to get saved. I believe in Jesus. Hallelujah. He's saving me. I'm on my way to heaven. Let me just enjoy the ride. It's not what the gospel will do. The gospel will enable you to be somebody that changes people around you. Okay, we got to get this, because sometimes I feel like church is kind of like, oh, yeah, I'm saved. Let me just go to church. Let me just be in this circle. Let me just relax here. It's more than that. There's people around us that need us to rise up. Amen. They need us to rise up and understand that we have a purpose. We have a call, and God is calling us not only to any call, but a holy calling. And it says this, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. So guess what? The call that you have might not be because you're the greatest speaker. I don't really think, like, I know you guys might not believe this, but I don't believe that I'm a great speaker. But I know the difference when God speaks through me and then when I'm talking to other people, just other stuff. Okay? Speaking wasn't, I always would speak. I love to talk. But I'm not a great eloquent speaker. You know, my dad, he loves words. I'm not that kind of guy. I might hear a word and try to throw it in. That's why you guys hear me say, what's that word? What's that word? Right? But it's not according to our own works. All right? The call that God gives to you is not because you are some super macho person and you are good enough for it. You're not. You're not good enough. You're not good enough for salvation. Let's throw that out the window. You weren't good enough to be saved. That's why Jesus was sent. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means you have sinned. This is part of the gospel, right? When people, when I go share the gospel, the first thing is you have to admit that you're a sinner. If you, we got the ABCs of the gospel. Admit, believe, and confess. Okay? You cannot be a follower of the gospel of Jesus Christ if you don't admit that you're a sinner. That's what the problem was with the Pharisees, right? And Jesus was saying some, oh my goodness, like Jesus was saying some cold stuff to the Pharisees because he was trying to show them that even in their works, they were in sin. Even in their great pomp, even how they set themselves up, they were still in sin. And he says, I am he who has come, but you can't see me because you're not of God. He said, if you were of God, you would believe in me. Yeah. He kept saying that. And I was like, dang, he's hitting them. I mean, you think Jesus was but so, super cold. But what he was trying to explain to them is you have to admit there is a problem with you. You have to admit it. Yeah. Amen? Amen. Admit it. It says, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So I like that. Jesus, God had salvation planned even in the beginning. Even before we sinned. Even before Adam and Eve sinned. How do you come to that conclusion? Because it says, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Grace was given even before we sinned. You guys catch that? Grace was already given to us in the beginning. When it says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And guess what? There was no timeline for that. That was God is infinite. There is no timeline, but we catch it there in the beginning because God had to put time because we're so weak. He had to give us time. Right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? But he also created grace. He created mercy. This wasn't just a secondary plan. He already had it ready. But he says, but it has now been revealed. So you check that. God had something, but he had to reveal it. Nobody comes to God unless the Spirit draws them or unless the Spirit reveals to them who they are. And who he is. Amen. We know Tanya, she's the newest convert in here. That's why we always talk about you giving your life to God. She told my wife before she was an atheist, right? But she was on Facebook. Was this right? Am I saying this right? Were you on Facebook and you caught Joyce Meyer or something? Caught a sermon from Joyce Meyer. And it began to tug at her. What began to tug at her? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God wanted to reveal himself to her. Amen. And he does the same thing. So what our prayer is, even when we share the gospel, is God, reveal yourself to us. I say that even when I pray with other people, God, reveal, help us to know who you are even more. I don't say it like I've got everything. I don't know everything about God. I'm still saying, God, reveal yourself to me still. I want to know you on a whole nother level. Amen. But it says, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life. He abolished death, which means he removed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Okay, so what's happening here? Death was crossed out with the cross. Okay? And he gave us life and immortality. Immortal. What does immortal mean? Won't die. Bebe's kids used to say, we don't die, we multiply. Right? But that's the truth with us. When we are in Christ, we don't die. Now, this flesh is going to die because this flesh is corruptible. But what God gives us when we accept him in our spirit is incorruptible. Amen. So we put on immortality when we accept the gospel. And then it says this, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Now, Gentiles, remember I told you guys earlier, the Greeks, it said the Jews and the Greeks, the Gentiles were people that weren't Jews. So now you see this is coming full circle. See, the Bible does not contradict itself. Amen. If you read the Bible, you're not going to see two different things. If you feel that way, go study it a little bit more. And God will reveal to you that everything that he does is in order. Amen. Verse 12 says, for this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believe and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Amen. Amen. A couple things about the gospel. And I'm going to close today and I'm going to pick up some more on this later. A couple of things about the gospel is this. His power will not be lost. The power of the gospel does not lose power as you get older. Right? That same gospel that happened when the first person got saved is the same gospel that's working now. Okay? What Paul is saying, even though I'm suffering, he is able to keep what I have committed to him. What have we committed to him? We've committed our heart and we've committed our faith. When we commit our heart and faith to him, it says that God is able to keep it until that day. And what is that day? Because somebody help me with that. What does it mean when he says that day? When he returns. Okay? So what he is saying is that power doesn't lose any power. It's not like the electricity that we have today. If you turn on too many things, what happens? It breaks. And then you got to go find the fuse, right? Or you got to go find the surge protectors or whatever and make sure they're working. You change it because that power is limited. Right? Matter of fact, if you don't pay your bill, your power is off. And I've had that happen. And it ain't fun. Right? I know Obed had that happen in the snow. The power went off because of the snow. And that's like, oh, Jesus. And thank God they got it back on. Amen. Because they're not used to the snow. Amen. But what I will say is this. God's power is not limited. And then next time we start talking, I'm going to talk about how many times we try to do the work of the gospel instead of letting the gospel do the work. You know, and what I mean by that is sometimes we're trying to, oh, let me convince you that. Quit convincing people, man. Let God do the convincing. You can't convince anybody to get saved. I remember in a old Christian rapper's song, he said, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can take a fool to school, but you can't make him think. Okay, you cannot make anybody accept the gospel. We have to get that in our spirit and understand that. But what you can do is say, God, reveal yourself to them. Even when you share the gospel, you allow God to just do his work. Don't get no arguments, because they love to argue. They love to argue. They love to prove their point. But I'm like, man, God revealed them. I have Muslims in my neighborhood. And what I begin to pray is that God speak to them in their dreams. Speak to them in their dreams. God speaks to me and through me in dreams. And I've heard testimonies of Muslims that were having so many dreams about who Jesus was that they just were trying to figure it. They had to figure it out, and they gave their life to God. Yeah. And it's not just Muslims, but it's anybody that doesn't know Christ. Because guess what? God is a good God, and he wants to save. But we are depraved by sin. And many times the distractions keep us from seeing who God is. But it is our job to ask God to reveal. And then when we share, do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for your word today. God, I pray to God that this would motivate us to be the people that you called us to be, dear God, that we would share your gospel, dear God, and see lives impacted and see lives changed by our obedience just to share. God, I pray to God that somebody hears what we say, and not only hear what we say, but hear what you are doing and what you are saying and what you are revealing. Reveal your spirit even in this neighborhood. Reveal your spirit in our families. Reveal who you are by the Spirit and begin to save people, oh God. Because God, you are a saving God. You are a loving God. You are a gracious and merciful God. So we thank you for that. We thank you for revealing yourself to us. And we pray that you reveal yourself even more. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. That was short. That was sweet. But I believe sometimes you can't get hit too many times. Right, you can only take a few blows before you like, okay, I need a little break. But allow this to motivate you to really begin to share the gospel.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.